Welcome to a podcast by Michael Servetus on the Book of the Errors of the Trinity, written in 1531 when he was 19 years old. A rare book. Chapter 5. To some, what is said of the name Jehovah in Jeremiah will cause difficulty. But even if Jerusalem is there called our righteous Jehovah, they could infer little from it. For names are often given to things with these additions. Yet I suppose that there is here another sense, for in the one passage the relative masculine is used, which refers to the tribe of Judah. In the other passage, the feminine, which refers to Jerusalem, for in both passages it had made mention of them just before. And afterwards it adds, Vasha Shomo Asha Yekra Jehovah Tzidkenu. That is, and this name of him who called him, namely Judah, is our righteous Jehovah. And in the other passage it says likewise, he who will call her, namely Jerusalem, is our righteous Jehovah. Just as if you said, the God of peace called us, that is, he called us in peace. It means to say that they will be called under the name of righteousness. He will be our righteousness. We shall all be righteous after he has freely justified us. I have pointed out above that this righteousness is not according to the Lutheran faith, but is for those that believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For we were acknowledged by God and justified from our sins when we believed in Christ. For though we were dead through sins, he made us alive and made us heavenly. It is not needful that we seek righteousness and the friendship of God through works of the law. Indeed, this would be to distrust Christ, as though he had not sufficiently and freely justified us once and for all. They sought this in the law, although they were unable to obtain it. But we have been justified, purified, and sanctified by Christ. The enmity between God and the world, which could not be removed through the law, has been removed through Christ. God has become to us a merciful Father, and we his sons. And not only this, but he has given us the pledge of the Spirit, that we may be already partakers of the glory to come. Oh, wonderful charis! Oh, God, that we most wicked men should have been made righteous in the sight of God! We are reconciled to God through Christ by his not imputing our sins to us, and thus without works we have been made the righteousness of God and friends of God, in which grace already gained we now firmly stand, as follows in the same passage. But what now remains to be done, now that we have believed in Christ and have been justified? Let the Lutherans inquire. If they do not find out, let them sleep with their faith. It was not enough for them to be without faith in Christ, unless they also robbed the people of the reward of love and of every act of virtue. They keep men suspended in the mere wind of faith and make an exhibition of themselves. They say they have faith, but I have never been able to understand what it is that they have, which they call faith. I would that they might take the scriptures more freely and without doing them violence, also casting off their most unfortunate prejudice. For Christ did not speak falsely when he said that by love, fasting, and prayers we lay up treasure in the kingdom of heaven and prepare for ourselves an abundant reward in the world to come. Indeed, without this, justification is in vain, and we have received the grace of God in vain. Yet they think to bring the people forcibly to do these things. Have love, they say, but it will profit you nothing. Thus their imagining makes men slothful, so that they neglect everything. They pay no heed to prayer, To give alms is useless. If you speak of continence, mortification of the flesh, or fasting, they will laugh with a great guffaw. I will speak of this more at large elsewhere, for it was necessary for the present to touch upon these things, in order thereby to show my purpose, namely, what that evangelical faith is which they are seeking. For this foolishness is our faith and salvation, namely, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior, because he died for us and rose again. By this foolishness of preaching, it is God's good pleasure that they that believe should be saved. Foolishness, I say with Paul, in the judgment of the philosophers, which is nevertheless the wisdom of God. Chapter 6. The other name, most holy of all, Jehovah, some say means essence, others begetting. Yet it includes both, and can be interpreted thus. Jehovah, that is, source of being, parent of beings, one who causes to be, gives being, cause of being. I leave to the Kabbalists their own secrets, and I simply say that as the Jod with the Sheva shows us, it is the future, Pil, which has an active meaning formed from the root Hava, or rather, Tave, by changing the Jod to a Ve, and small words to great, as frequently happens, it is interpreted Haja, that is, he will give being, or will cause to be, which applies rather well to Christ, as much as to say, he will cause Christ to be. Note the greatness of the mysteries, that even in the very name of God, there was a sign, an indication, or a prophecy of the Christ to come. Christ is he whom Jehovah caused to be from the beginning, and not only caused him to be, but all things to be through him. The change of points was made for the sake of likeness to those of the word Adonash, even as it also sometimes has the points of the word Elohim, as though it also included in itself the meaning of those words. Chapter 7. We can settle this meaning of the word by a passage where he was about to do great deeds and lay Egypt to waste. Hence he says that his name, Jehovah, which is the name of the one that does these great deeds, was not known to the patriarchs. For God appeared to the patriarchs, and was known under the name El Shaddai. And from the meaning of these names in this passage, it is ascertained that far more is conveyed through the name Jehovah. For Shaddai comes from Shad, which means desolation, as though he were a desolator, or one able to lay all waste. And so it is explained to Joel and in Isaiah, Kashad Mashaddai, that is, like desolation from a desolator. Likewise, El means strong and powerful, whence El Shaddai, as though he were a mighty desolator, and under this name he was first manifested to Abraham. And that for this reason, that Abraham might be mightier in not fearing others, than also that he might walk more perfectly before him in the fear of the Lord, as it says, I am a jealous God, a consuming and terrible fire. Therefore, although I have appeared to them with this name, although they have realized that I laid waste Sodom and Gomorrah, yet they have not fully known hitherto that I am omnipotent, have not known me under the name of Jehovah, which is a more complete name of one that causes to be, that does so great and so many things, as you shall see in the things that I am now about to do against Pharaoh. And this preface concerning the things that he was about to do, God premised before he went on to the explanation of his name. So also he afterward said, the Egyptians shall know that I am Jehovah, that cause all things to be. The conclusion is valid, that we are to know by such great plagues and desolations of Christendom that he is El Shaddai and Jehovah. But we have no eyes. The heart of Pharaoh is hardened. The prophets, when they prophesy some great thing to come, are wont to make the same inference. For us to know that he is Jehovah, who does such great things against us, it is not enough for you to say, now we know that it is the finger of God. For Pharaoh's magicians also said this. But they did not inquire what he demanded, who wrought such great evils. Nor are we willing to take warning from it. The priests of the Philistines gave more earnest heed to this. And shall we not blush for shame that the Gentiles surpass us in regard for the scriptures? Moreover, this name of one who creates or causes to be is made plain from the creation of the world, and from the first passage in which the voice began to be uttered by the Holy Spirit. For during the 6 days God was never called by that name, because the creation was not yet completed. But on the seventh day, when the creation was completed, he first began to be called by this name, the names of the generation and creation being repeated. These, it says, are the generations of the heaven and of the earth when they were created, in the day on which Jehovah made them. Hence he is there called the creator of things and of beings. He himself is the father of the rain, because he hath begotten the drops of dew from the womb, whose outgoing is the frost, and he hath begotten the hoarfrost of heaven. Chapter 8. Again, according to the Gospel of John, this name of God is explained by the mere fact that he said was, for this was is the hypostasis of the word, as I shall say in Book 7. Again, by way of the word, John explains that Jehovah himself is the one who gives being and causes to be, saying, all things were made through him, and without him was nothing. Moreover, he is explained to be one who begets through the word or Christ, because he was begetting the Son from everlasting and always by a word. And through Christ, that name best fitted him, because he first of all gave the Son, being by the uttering of a word, through which he also caused other things to be. For as I said, Christ is before all, and he himself, by saying, I am from the beginning, shows the name of the Father, because the Son has eternal being from the Father. Chapter 9. Just as God is called the source of being, so is he also called the source of light, the Father of spirits, the Father of lights. Nor do I understand light as meaning here the assertion of equality. But inasmuch as the rays of being and shining angels flow from God, the breath of being comes out of his storehouse, from the Father's breast, as sons from a father's bosom. Manifold rays of divinity proceed, which are all essences of God, and he is in them. Nor is there anything in the world that can more truly be called essence than that which God disposes to exist in his own character. For his accidents are more essential than our quiddities, and no celestial messenger is ever sent to us in whom his essence is not. He sends his spirit to us, and this itself is God, his very self. For the expression image of the hypostasis of God is always there. And for this reason, Jehovah is called Sabaoth, that is, of hosts, because his essence fights in the number of the multitude. He arms all the hosts and armies of heaven with the splendor of his essence. And Jehovah of Sabaoth, as I have said, can be called Jehovah Elohim, as much as to say, he that gives being to the hosts. And hence it comes to pass that the name of divinity is mingled with the names of angels, because his essence is mingled with them. You see here that God has several essences, for there cannot be said to be several beings in one essence, but quite the contrary. Indeed, I say that God himself is the essences of all things, and all things are in him.
You've been listening to On the Errors of the Trinity by Michael Servetus, a rare book.